Hello, my friends. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and welcome to All Things Murder. Welcome to All Things Murder, the show that dives into real true crime cases that inspired pop culture movies and shows we know today. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and this case is gonna be a doozy. This serial killer has had countless books written, TV show episodes, and movies about him. If you've read or seen Stephen King's novella, The Good Marriage, which is inspired by none other than Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. Listener's discretion is advised. If you're a fan of horror movies or true crime, or perhaps both like myself, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check us out on YouTube at All Things Murder. New episodes on Thursdays. Dennis Lynn Rader was born on March 9th, 1945, as the oldest of four in Pittsburgh, Kansas. He would grow up in a fairly humble home in Wichita, the same city he would later terrorize. Even as a teen, Dennis had a violent streak in him. Are we surprised? He harbored sadistic sexual fantasies about torturing trapped and helpless women. He would also allegedly hang and torture stray animals. As we all know, red flag, he's a serial killer if he tortures animals, for one. He often spied on his female neighbors while he was dressed in women's clothing, including women's underwear that he had stolen, and masturbated with robes or other bindings that were around his arms and neck. He cut out photos of women from magazines whom he found arousing and drew ropes and gags on them. He would often imagine how he could restrain and control them. This guy is just a walking red flag. But Dennis continued to maintain an ordinary outward appearance. He attended college for a time before he dropped out and then joined the U.S. Air Force. When he got home from duty, he took up work as an electrician in Wichita. He then met his wife, Paula Dietz, through church. She was a bookkeeper for a snacks convenience store, and he proposed just after a couple dates. And the two got married in 1971. The BTK's first murder. Dennis was laid off from his job as an electrician in 1973, and shortly afterward, he killed his first victims on January 15th, of 1974. While his wife, Paula, was sleeping, he broke into the home of the Otero family and murdered every person in the house. The children, 11-year-old Josie and 9-year-old Joseph, were forced to watch while he strangled their parents to death. So Josie is crying out, "Mommy, I love you," as she's watching her mom get strangled to death. Then Dennis took her into the basement where he pulled off her underwear and hung her from a sewer pipe. He watched her as she choked to death, masturbating while she died. He took pictures of the dead bodies and gathered up some of the little girl's underwear as a memento of his first massacre. Then he went home to his wife like nothing happened, and then he was getting ready for church, as he was, after all, church council president. This just goes to show your neighbors and friends, you do not know them. This guy was a churchgoer, seemed like an all-American dude, and is a twisted, messed up serial killer. He took his next two victims just a few months after the Otero's 15-year-old son discovered his massacre family. Dennis stalked and waited in the apartment of a young college student named Catherine Bright before he stabbed and strangled her. He then shot her brother, Kevin, twice, but he did survive. Kevin later described Dennis as having psychotic eyes, which I think we can agree. He's crazy. He definitely has psychotic eyes. Paula, who was now 3 months with Dennis's first child, unknowing to her husband began to advertise his crimes. What is going on in this man's mind? After describing how he killed the Oteros in a letter he stashed inside an engineering book at the public library in Wichita, he called a local paper, the Wichita Eagle, and let them know where he could find his confession. He said, "I'm not getting any publicity, so I'm gonna create my own." He added that he did intend to kill again and named himself BTK, which was an acronym for his preferred method, bind, torture, and kill. Dennis Rader allegedly took some time off of his murder streak after Paula told him that she was pregnant. This only lasted a few short years, and the BTK killer struck again in 1977. But shortly before her husband sexually assaulted and choked his seventh victim, Shirley Vian, to death while her six-year-old watched through the keyhole of a door, Paula found an early draft of a poem entitled Shirley Locks, in which Dennis writes, quote, "Thou shall not scream, but lay on cushion and think of me and death." My husband wrote some shit like that. Be like, we need to talk with the police involved. But Paula did not ask any questions, even though clues just kept popping up. She didn't want to say anything when her husband marked up newspaper stories on this serial killer with what he called his own secret code. Okay, there's a serial killer going around and your husband is like clipping all of the newspapers about said serial killer. I would have called the police. When she noticed that the taunting letters the BTK killer sent to the police were full of the same horrendous misspellings as the letter she got from her husband, she didn't say anything more than, "You spell just like BTK." Nor did she ask him about this mysterious sealed box he kept in their home. She never even tried to look inside once. Now, I understand there is that barrier of trust between a relationship. There's trust in every relationship, but when your partner starts doing sketchy shit, I think that's a time for you to get nosy. Absolutely, get nosy, because you know what? You could save lives. Being nosy might have saved lives. If she had, she would have found a treasure chest full of horrors, which Dennis referred to as the motherlode. It contained mementos from the BTK killer's crime scenes, such as dead women's underwear, driver's license, along with pictures of him dressed up in victims' underwear, choking himself and burying himself alive, reenacting the ways that he had killed them. Nonetheless, his wife would later insist to the police that Dennis was a good man, a great father, he would never hurt anyone. Not even his own children suspected him. I mean, if the mom's not, kids probably aren't either. Their father was, at worst, a strictly moral Christian. His daughter, Carrie Rawson, would recall how once her dad got so angry at her brother that he grabbed him by the neck, and she had to pull him off to save her brother's life. Like, that was a time my dad got, quote, aggressive. Come on. Her father waved every morning to 53-year-old Maureen Hedge while he was on his way to church. When she became the BTK killer's eighth victim, tied up and choked to death, it was Dennis himself who had been there to comfort and reassure his family. Don't worry, we're safe. Yeah, no, you are not safe. Your dad's the killer. Get out of the house. Obviously, Dennis murdered the woman the night before after sneaking out to the campsite he was chaperoning on his son's Cub Scout retreat. He returned by morning to the group of young boys with no suspicions. In 1986, he killed his ninth victim, 28-year-old Vicky Welgory, while her 2-year-old watched from the playpen. Her murder would remain unsolved until the BTK killer unknowingly brought himself to justice. Dennis Rader, in some respect, fell into domestic life, and in 1991, began working for the Wichita suburb of Park City as a compliance supervisor. He was known to be an exacting officer and often unforgiving with clients. Yeah, I can imagine. That same year, he committed his 10th and final crime. Dennis used a cinder block to break through the sliding glass door of 62-year-old grandmother, Dolores Davis, who just lived a few miles from his own family. He dumped her body by a bridge. In the last year as a free man, Dennis came across a story in the local paper marking the 30th anniversary of the Otero murders. He wanted to make the BTK killer known again, so in 2004, he sent nearly a dozen letters and packages to the media and the police. Some were full of his mementos from his massacres, some were of dolls bound up and gagged just like he did his victims, and one even contained a pitch for an autobiographical novel he wanted to write called The BTK Story. So not only is he like, I need attention, here's all the crazy, terrible things I've done, let me give you this pitch for a book about me. Come on, dude. The one that would finally do him in, though, was a letter on a floppy disk. Y'all remember those? Inside, the police found the metadata of a deleted Microsoft Word document. This document was for the Christ Lutheran Church, authored by the church council president, Dennis Rader. Remember, everything is tracked on your computer, people. DNA samples were taken from one of his victims' fingernails, and police assessed his daughter's pap smears to confirm a match. When they received a positive match, Dennis was taken from his home in front of his family on February 25th of 2005. The father tried to keep up, you know, like a reassuring face, but he gave his daughter one last hug, promising her it would all be cleared up soon. I don't think daddy's coming home tonight. In the police car, though, he didn't try to hide a thing. When the officer asked him if he knew, "Why are you being arrested?" he gave a cold smirk and replied, "Oh, I have suspicions why." He confessed to all 10 murders, seeming to take a twisted joy in describing all the brutal details of how the women had died in court. The BTK killer was sentenced to 175 years in jail without the possibility of parole. He escaped the death penalty only because Kansas did not have a death penalty instated during the 17 years of his rampage. He was 60 years old when he was sentenced to 10 consecutive life sentences. Now, you're probably wondering, what happened to his family? So Dennis's wife, Paula, left her meal half-eaten on the dinner table the day he was arrested, and she never came back to finish it. When the horrible truth came out about her husband, she refused to ever step foot in that house again. She divorced Dennis when he confessed to the crimes. I'm with you, girl. I wouldn't have even stepped foot in that house. Nope. Bye. The Rader family tried to stay quiet during the trial. There was no explanation as to his rampages besides Dennis Rader's suspicion that I actually think I might be possessed with demons. So Dennis thought he was possessed by demons and that's why he did all these terrible things. The media accused Paula Dietz of knowing more than she let on, of protecting her husband and ignoring the evidence. Their daughter at first hated him, which, understandable. Especially when he sent a letter to the newspaper about her saying that she reminds me of me. My dad has said some terrible things to me, but if someone said that, yeah, I'd be pissed too. It didn't escape the kid that they shared their father's blood or that some part of him might live on within them. Nor did it escape them that if their father had stopped when he first killed, they would never have been born, which is true. But the hardest part of it all was that all he'd done, he was still their dad. Imagine having a dad as a serial killer. And that is the true story of Dennis Rader, the BTK killer. Thank you all so much for joining me. I'm Marissa Blackwood, and don't forget to tune in next week. It is going to be our season finale. Woo-hoo! It's been a year. I cannot believe it. Thank you all so much. Don't forget to tune in next week for a new All Things Murder, if you dare.